This is BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brianna Willis.
And I'm Brandon Isle, and this is Tell Me About It. Coming up in the next half hour, we have our weekly segment with Idaho legislators talking about this week in politics, including the controversial redistricting resolution.
Plus, so much illness is going around that entire school districts canceled class this week. One administrator told me why he kept classes in session.
If we close for illness, then it actually counts against our instructional hours. And if we were to close for more than basically 2 days for illness, then we'd have to extend the school year to make that time up.
And folks in St. Anthony are upset with their street situation this winter. So we talked to the mayor.
It's slick, and I mean, we try to sand and stuff, but we live in Idaho. There's snow.
These stories and more coming up in Tell Me About It.
For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler. Today, the three Democrats on the House committee considering a change in the Voting Redistricting Commission walked out in protest before a vote to send the resolution to the full state house. The commission is in charge of changing voting boundaries in the state every 10 years. Committee Chairman Representative Steve Harris of Meridian introduced the proposal Wednesday. It would add a seventh member to the commission. Currently, leadership of both Democratic and Republican parties each chose three members of the commission. The resolution proposes a seventh member to be chosen by the governor, lieutenant governor, state controller, state treasurer, and superintendent of public instruction. On Wednesday, Harris said the last two commissions in 2002 and 2012 led to gridlock and lawsuits. He says a seventh member on the commission would avoid this. Democrats completely disagree. Here's what Representative John Gannon said before the Democrats walked out.
At this point, because we haven't heard from the people of Idaho, we haven't had enough feedback, we haven't had enough public testimony, we haven't had people from around the state. And so as a result, we need to leave because we don't feel that we can cast a vote at this point without having the people of Idaho involved in this process and listened to them and evaluated all different ideas and evaluated the idea that's being presented today. So with that, we need to leave prior to the vote.
The notice of the hearing was within the 24-hour notice, and some citizens did comment at the hearing today. Before the vote, Republican representatives continued their discussion, noting they received several emails about the issue. Representative Brett Crane shared his disappointment that the Democrats walked out.
I am very disappointed that such an important issue, my Democratic colleagues aren't here. We were elected to make decisions. When we stood before our voters and said that we will go and represent them, we were there to make decisions, not based on whether we had 24 hours to make the decision or whether we, in this case, had 48 hours to make the decision. We get paid to make decisions, and I wish they were here so that we could have a full discussion and potentially come up with something that could garner their support.
After the Democrats walked out, the Republicans on the committee then voted to send the bill to the House floor. If the bill passes both the House and the Senate with a two-thirds majority, it would go to the voters for approval. We'll hear more about this issue a little later in the show. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has announced it will close its missionary training center located in the Buenos Aires, Argentina, in July of this year. Plans for possible future uses of the facility will be worked out with local church leaders. Following the closure, missionaries who would have attended this center will be trained in the Mexico and Brazil MTCs. The discussion comes amidst a host of other recent announcements made by the church. This closure is designed to better the use of Mexico and Brazil MTC to train missionaries assigned in Latin America. The Better Business Bureau is warning the public about an online fishing business that is reportedly stealing people's money. Real Hook Fishing out of Auburn, Washington, has received an F rating for its poor business practices. Jeremy Johnson is the marketplace manager for BBB Northwest and Pacific. She explains how the scam works.
You know, one thing that we've found that this business, or what complainants are telling the Better Business Bureau, is that they're being contacted via social media and being asked to help a local company by purchasing a t-shirt. And then the customers then promise possibly free merchandise in return. Well, those that are purchasing these t-shirts are waiting months and the t-shirt isn't coming and nothing else is coming that they were promised as well. So we really want consumers to be informed when being approached by companies like this to be cautious about what is happening.
Johnson says the Better Business Bureau has received 14 complaints and over 700 inquiries about reel and hook fishing. The company also does business under the names of Angler's Cast, Target Hunt Company, and LOA Outdoors. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
Thanks, Jessica. This is Tell Me About It. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Brianna Willis. We can expect a snowy weekend throughout our listening area. The snow will likely start tonight and will continue on and off into next week. Highs are in the 30s this weekend with lows tonight in the single digits in Jackson and teens elsewhere.
Right now it's 19 in Rexburg, 18 in Idaho Falls, 24 in Pocatello, and 10 in Jackson. Coming up on Tell Me About It, BYU-Idaho's curriculum is changing, and that's a big deal for new students. But for current students?
Well, I want to start by emphasizing that this does not impact any current students.
We'll explain the changes.
And we talked to Idaho lawmakers about the week in the state legislature, including Medicaid expansion and the controversial redistricting resolution. This is Tell Me About It on BYU-Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
Join us this Friday and Saturday night at 7 for patriotic episodes of The Perfect Score. For Friday evening, we're highlighting The Silent Service, movies about submarines. And for Saturday, we celebrate The Patriot. Join us Friday and Saturday night at 7 on BYU Idaho Radio.
For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry, and this is Tell Me About It. News director Brandon Isle and I got to interview Idaho State Pro Tem Brent Hill from Rexburg and House Assistant Minority Leader Ilana Rubel from Boise yesterday on what's been happening this week in the Idaho legislature. First, we asked how this week has been.
There are fewer bills, but most of us feel like it's been busier. Have some big issues, of course, the Medicaid expansion. Big thing this week was with the Supreme Court unanimous decision to declare that it was constitutional, which gives the legislature a mandate to continue with the implementation of that citizen initiative. And then the school funding formula is we've finally got a bill out on that. They're having a big joint committee meeting on that and getting public testimony and so forth. So those two things are very large projects and are taking a lot of time by a lot of people. But anyway, it's going well. The atmosphere is good. It's congenial and civil. And I think we're doing a good job at getting the people's business done.
Well, we've had a fairly eventful week. The Supreme Court ruled in support of Proposition 2 and deemed that the Medicaid expansion effort passed by the voters is, in fact, constitutional. So that gave us the green light to go full steam ahead on implementing that. Things are percolating in the background on the new school funding formula. Personally, I've gotten a couple of bills introduced in the past week that I'm excited about that I'm working on. One on mandatory minimum sentences for drug offenders, and one on solar panels and homeowners' basically rights to install solar panels on their roof if they wish.
They shared some more of their thoughts on the Medicaid expansion specifically.
Well, the main thing is to implement the will of the people in a compassionate way, in a deliberate way, and in an efficient way. So that's the main goal. We need to get it funded. You know, the people voted for the plan, but didn't vote for a funding source in order to provide these services. So we're working through that. We will find funding. I mean, that's not going to be a particular problem. It's not going to be a hindrance to getting it implemented is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, the bill itself is basically self-executing. You know, it was passed pretty much as a completely operative piece of statute. So the only thing really that the legislature would have to do to make it a reality is to find the money for it. You know, they would have to find about $40 million to come up with the state's 10%, because the state has to put up 10%, and then the federal government puts up the other 90%. So really the only thing that should have to happen is our Joint Finance Committee just needs to allocate $40 million to the Department of Health and Welfare, and then it's all good to go.
Next, we asked them about the bill that was proposed Wednesday to add a member to the Redistricting Commission and what they think of it.
Well, of course, the impetus behind that is every 10 years we do redistricting after the census is taken, and we got one coming up in a couple of years now. And so we're trying to best prepare for that. So anyway, we put together, a commission was put together in the Constitution that is made up of six members. Those six members are appointed by different people, but basically they're appointed by three Democrats and appointed by three Republicans, so that it's somewhat even in the distribution there. Although Idaho is not even in our distribution, Idaho is, if you look at the legislature at least, that Idahoans have elected, about 80% of the legislature in both the House and the Senate are Republican. And all of our statewide constitutional officers are Republican. So the thought is to put a tiebreaker in there, and that would be a seventh member, and that member would be actually chosen by the constitutional officers, the governor, lieutenant governor, treasurer, superintendent of schools, and the controller, I think, are the ones that are involved in that.
That's a bill that I'm really, really concerned about, and I'm really hoping we can stop, but given the breakdown of the legislature, I'm not sure we can. But there's been basically a gerrymandering bill that was introduced. We've had a great nonpartisan redistricting system where it's a nonpartisan commission, that it's a citizen commission with three Republicans and three Democrats, and they have to get together, and there have to be at least, you know, a two-thirds vote. So it has to be bipartisan agreement on the lines that get drawn and how districts are set up, which I think is fantastic. And I think that really a lot of states around the country are trying to move to a system more like Idaho's. Unfortunately, Idaho is now looking at changing that system and turning it into one that is a partisan gerrymandering system, whereby instead of having a six-member commission, three from each party, they want to make it a seven-member commission where four of the members are Republican, so they can kind of stack the deck and draw the district lines in a way that favors Republicans. Now, you know, our legislature is already 80% Republican, so I'm not sure why they feel the need to, you know, draw lines that would even further benefit the majority party. I'd like to see at least the line-drawing process be kept in a really fair and nonpartisan way. And this really feels like kind of a way that they're using their majority control to fix the rules of the game, if you will. And I'm really, really hoping we can stop that from happening.
The hearing for the bill was held today. Democrats motioned for the hearing to be delayed until next Wednesday so the public could have more time to make their voices heard. The motion was struck down and three Democrats on the panel walked out in protest. The Republicans then voted unanimously to send the bill to the floor for a vote. Tune in next Friday for Tell Me About It at 4 p.m. to catch another update on Idaho's legislative session. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry.
I also just got off the phone with Representative Brooke Green, who's on the House State Affairs Committee. She's one of the Democrats who walked out of the hearing. She told me because this issue is so big, people should simply have more time to show up and let their voices be heard.
And something else to note, today was a busy day at the Capitol. We had the Medicaid expansion hearing that was occurring down the hall. You know, we had some other hot topic bills that were coming to, you know, attention and some of our other committees. So it was really a very short notice, and it truly was just kind of shoving this down the throat of the voters. They didn't have a chance to be heard. And us on the minority party, we wanted that chance to be heard. We wanted our constituents the chance to be heard. And it's important that if we are going to go this route, when we're talking about something so a foundation to the state of Idaho, the Constitution, we really need to give ample time for everybody to participate in the process. 24-hour notice is not ample time.
We'll stay on top of this issue and let you know what happens.
Some St. Anthony residents are upset about city road conditions. We go to student reporter Alec Pope for more.
In Idaho, snow is a part of life. How we get rid of it is another story. During a recent city council meeting, several residents came forward with questions about snow removal in the city of St. Anthony. The issue is one that has been discussed and debated for years in the town. Kevin Hathaway is one who spoke up at the city meeting. Hathaway says he is concerned about the dangerous and unsafe road conditions for both drivers and pedestrians. Stephanie Clark lives near the St. Anthony Transfer Station. From her home into town, she must use both a county and a city road. Clark says the county road is consistently clear, but the poorly maintained city roads cause them a lot of difficulties. I spoke with St. Anthony Mayor Donald Powell, who shared his thoughts of residents' comments in the meeting.
Well, from what I took away from it, they want plowed more often instead of kind of trying to gauge, guessing storms, and they want, like, specific if there's 2 inches of snow to plow.
What is the current city policy about when they plow the roads?
Well, our superintendent of public works, like say, he's looking at the snowfall, how much we've got, storm, is it still snowing? Is there more snow forecast? And going off of that, we didn't have a specific saying, okay, there's 2 inches of snow, go plow.
St. Anthony residents have complained that roads are simply not plowed enough. Some claim that there are real dangers involved. At times, ruts are created in the snow and ice by driving cars. I asked Mayor Powell if he feels there is a real danger to drivers based on how the roads are plowed currently.
Well, it's slick, and, we try to sand and stuff, but we live in Idaho. There's snow. I guess we could try to plow clear down to the pavement every time, but, there's cost involved in all of that. And so, do you want to spend money trying to plow down to the pavement, or, where do you want to spend money? I guess that's the question.
For many residents in St. Anthony, the answer to that question is to plow the roads more. I asked the mayor what he personally thinks should be done.
I have no problem. We'll do whatever the council wants to do. If they want plow it 2 inches, we'll do what they say.
Snow removal in St. Anthony will continue to be discussed in the coming city council meetings. The next meeting will be held at the St. Anthony City Building on February 14th at 7 p.m. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Alec Pope.
We've had a break from the snow today, but we're going to see more this weekend. Expect it to snow through the weekend and into next week. Highs will be in the 30s throughout our listening area, but lows will vary between single digits and the 20s.
If you're traveling this weekend, Boise will also see snow this weekend, with winter weather advisory in effect Saturday night and also into Sunday. Highs are in the 30s. Salt Lake City will have a chance of snow Saturday with heavy snow on Sunday night. Highs are in the 40s.
Right now it's 20 in Rexburg, 18 in Idaho Falls, 24 in Pocatello, and 9 in Jackson.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, BYU Idaho is changing its foundation's courses to general education.
Well, I want to start by emphasizing that this does not impact any current students.
Plus, I talked to a local school district about the illnesses going around and why they haven't closed school. This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
College life is crazy. The classes, the crushes, the Rexburg bubble. When it all drives you nuts, we've got you covered. Listen to the people crazy enough to talk about what's on your mind. Catch The Spot, a BYU Idaho radio podcast with new episodes every Thursday. Find us at BYUIdahoRadio.org.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brandon Isle, and this is our Media Matters segment. I'm here with Michelle Mead. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Yes, it's been a few weeks. We're here to talk about Super Bowl ads. I know it's been a few days since the Super Bowl, but I think we're still talking about the commercials. And not so much individual commercials per se, but I think just kind of what Super Bowl ads mean to people in the United States, right? This is Media Matters. So why do these Super Bowl ads matter?
Well, I think it is quite good because it's like our own little advert film festival. I never really watch football. I much rather watch rugby. But I find myself going back, on Monday, I'll go through and just check out ad after ad after ad, sit with the kids, we'll have a laugh, because it's like a little film festival, and it talks about whatever is in the consciousness at the time. And so that's kind of what I like about these adverts.
Yeah, I know a lot of years you'll have political ads, you'll have just a, all sorts of different things, trying to target audiences to remember that brand or whatever the advert is for. But this year didn't seem to have much in the way of political.
No, I enjoyed 2017 because that was so political and really polarized people. And this year, not so much. I found some statistics about retention. One of them is that 60% of all Super Bowl ads did not ever or have never boosted purchasing.
Interesting.
So they haven't really increased, you know, I guess, product, I don't know, that people want that product.
Right.
But what it does is it makes you talk about that product. So yeah. Even though people are not necessarily buying it, 90% of people that are watching the ads don't buy, but only 10% do. But it still means that you're talking about Audi or you're talking about Toyota or
right.
Or
I'm not going to run out and buy a new car, especially if an expensive one. But
correct.
I'll talk about it. I know it has helped some brands, like Monster.com, when it was a new company, did a Super Bowl ad, and they saw use job searches just go through the roof.
That's true.
So it does help sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah, you have very good results. But a lot of these bigger brands don't really see much of a difference, but they want to be part of the national dialogue, and good on them, because yeah. I really enjoy watching those ads.
Yeah, and I looked up this year, they cost an average of $5.25 million.
For 30 seconds.
For 30 seconds, that is a lot of money.
And that's not the production cost. That's just to be on the TV station. It was CBS this time. So.
Yeah, and the lowest watched Super Bowl in a long time, 98 million people.
That's right. Although they said that 2.6 million have streamed it. So it's come to 100.7 million people watching, which compared to 2017 is 12% down.
Yeah.
So not as much enthusiasm. Still, you're paying, you know, 5.25 million for your advert. Wow.
And maybe that goes further than just the Super Bowl game, because we're talking about it, right? The next day we're
exactly.
talking about it. People are YouTubing and things like that.
Yeah.
Were there any ads that stood out to you?
There were a few that stood out for me. Now, I really like Chance the Rapper. So I was happy to see him with the Backstreet Boys. Now, I'm not as big a fan of the Backstreet Boys, but still, it put them back into national dialogue, and so that was good. And I liked the Google one, Washington Post. I liked that one, but, you know, if you're into media, that matters. Mm-hmm. The one I really, really hated, though, was the Mint Mobile. Did you see that? The chunky milk?
Yeah, that one, a lot of people didn't like that one.
Yeah, I couldn't even finish it. I just thought it was disgusting. So I don't know what they were trying to sell exactly, because I was so turned off.
Yeah, I think the funny ones always stick with me. And I think one that I really liked was the NFL 100 years, celebrating 100 years.
And that was voted as the number one ad.
Yeah, and it could have been so dry and boring, but they really had fun with it. And a headline in the newspaper this week is actually the girl near the end that says, "You want this ball?" She used to live in Blackfoot, so we've got kind of a tie
to
that commercial. So a lot of fun with that one.
The second most favored one was the Amazon Alexa, and, you know, were the ones that just really were not great ideas. That was kind of fun. And then Microsoft got third place with, they showed children with disabilities.
Right, playing video games with this new adaptive controller.
Some people were quite offended by it, though, interestingly enough. Huh. But again, it gets people talking, and that's what really advertising is about, especially around the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I imagine landing these contracts to do these commercials is quite lucrative for ad companies. And I was looking at a website, and you notice a lot of the same names for companies that are producing these. So
Saatchi & Saatchi, I noticed, though, had a bunch of duds. So interesting for them.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got a few duds, that might not be so good for your company. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to hear what our listeners think about the Super Bowl ads. You can let us know on our Facebook page, just like BYU Idaho Radio. And this is Media Matters with Michelle Mead.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Students at BYU Idaho will see changes to a big part of their education rolling out soon. Student reporter J.D. Packer has the story.
BYU Idaho is changing a big part of its curriculum. The university will be transitioning from the Foundations program to a new general education program. Van Chrisman is the Associate Academic Vice President of Curriculum. He explains how this will affect students.
Well, I want to start by emphasizing that this does not impact any current students. So any current students who are here, who are working on their foundations program, have fulfilled that. They can continue to complete their degree on an old catalog year.
One of the big reasons that has been mentioned a lot on campus is because, like Chrisman said, it doesn't really impact students yet. The only way it'll impact our current students is if they decide to change catalog years to the 2019 catalog because of a new program or something like that. Chrisman says the school has had the foundations program for 10 years and it has served the school and blessed a lot of students.
We don't see the new general education program as being the end-all, the perfect solution, but a stepping stone to maybe get us there. But we may be with this for a while as we continue to learn and grow and develop a better program that better meets the needs of students.
The school will require two English classes, a quantitative reasoning class, and religion classes for graduation. A college success class has been added to the core curriculum, and additional general education courses in areas of natural science, arts and humanities, and social sciences. More course options will help broaden students' opportunities in new areas who don't know what major they want to pick.
We are also adding a few classes right now that are broad introduction classes to areas. So students who aren't quite sure what they want to major in, but they're interested in, say, science, there's some classes now in that general education science area where the students can select that, and it gives them a broad overview so they can say, oh, I like this area better, and it'll help them, hopefully help them to choose a major sooner and get moving in that area.
Under the new program, credits will be more easily transferable to other universities and can help students get into future programs.
If they get an associate's degree and they transfer the packet, we haven't seen much issue with students being able to transfer. If they don't get an associate's degree and they try to do it course by course, then the foundations courses are so broad and interdisciplinary that they may not transfer as well as some of the more discipline-specific classes. So there may be an advantage.
The new catalog year begins in the spring 2019 semester. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm J.D. Packer.
Blackfoot, Teton, West Jefferson, Snake River, Jefferson, Shelley, Firth, Clark County, Fremont, and Ryrie. All these districts have canceled classes at some point this week because there were just too many kids who were sick.
One school district has decided not to cancel school. That's Bonneville District 93. I talked to Assistant Superintendent Scott Wolston-Hume about their decision to stay open. He said they haven't noticed a huge decrease in attendance.
The state law gives school districts the ability to close schools for weather or if we have a failure in one of our facilities as an emergency closure, and then that counts as our instructional hours. But if we close for illness, then it actually counts against our instructional hours. And if we were to close for more than basically 2 days for illness, then we'd have to extend the school year to make that time up.
Mike Taylor from the Eastern Idaho Health Department says it's not too late to get your flu vaccine.
It's not too late to get your flu vaccine because in that vaccine there's four components, two type A's and two type B's that'll help protect you from the influenza. And even if you do get sick a little bit, you would not get as sick as you would have if you didn't have the shot.
And if you're really worried, you can just stay home.
Thanks for listening to Tell Me About It. You can catch episodes every Friday at 4 on KBYI 94.3 FM.
Our theme music comes from BYU Idaho student composers Alex Watson and Anders Nilsson. Find this show and our other podcasts on social media or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like, follow, and subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio.